deserve. We have any visitors with us this evening? I don't see any, but just in case we do, if we have any, we certainly are grateful that you're here. And certainly it's good, again, to see all of us who are present on this evening. I want to share with us in our lesson this evening some thoughts based upon John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. These verses have reference to the many things that Jesus did while he was here on earth by way of miracles, and it talks about the purpose for these things that were done. And this conversation, if you will, or this writing comes right behind Jesus appearing to his apostles, the 12, on the second time after his resurrection. It was on the first day of the week. He had come and appeared to them the first time, and they had found out who he was. But only 11 at that first time was with them. Thomas was not there. The 11 realized that after they had seen him, they recognized that he was the Christ. So on the second occasion, about a week later, they came together again, and the Bible talks about them being meeting in secret for fear of the Jews. They were sort of hidden, if you will, from the Jews there because of the persecution, no doubt, that would come upon them. Well, the second time, Thomas was with them. And they reported to Thomas, or told Thomas, that we have seen the Lord. Thomas said in so many words, except I'm able to put my hand in his side and also to put my hand into his hands where he was, where the nails went into and where the spear went into his side, he says, I won't believe. Well, when Jesus appeared to them on the second time, Thomas being there, Jesus apparently perceived, as he knows all things anyway, that Thomas was one who did not believe. So immediately Jesus says to Thomas, to reach your hand into my hand and thrust your hand into my side. So down about verse number 28, the Bible says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And then verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But then he asked this, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He was referring, I believe, in this passage to the miracles that people had not seen but would believe on. And so the next verse, verse number 30 and 31, John writes this. And he says this, truly, or rather many other signs, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written, the Bible says, in this book. But these that are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. So from these passages, I want to share this lesson with us tonight entitled, Things That Are Written. Things That Are Written. It is apparent that God places great importance upon things that are written. In giving his law to his chosen people, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 31 and verse number 18, as well as Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 13, that it was God himself who wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. And then in Habakkuk's time, one of the minor prophets, when Habakkuk had a question as to why God used wicked nations to punish his people, he gave Habakkuk a vision, and he told, in answering to Habakkuk's concern, he told Habakkuk to write this vision upon a table and make it plain so that all may run that read it. That's found in Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 2. And then when Christ was tempted in the wilderness three times by Satan, each time he responded to Satan's temptation by saying, "It is written." And then in the last book of the Bible, when John was instructed by the angel to write to the seven churches of Asia, when you go there and read it, at the beginning of his writing to each one of the seven churches of Asia, this phrase is found. And you can go down the list. To the church at Ephesus, write. To the church at Pergamos, write. To the church at Smyrna, write. To the church at Philadelphia, write. And you can go all the way to the seventh church, and that phrase is found, write. I said all of that to say this again, to emphasize the fact that it is apparent that God places great importance upon things that are written. You see, I believe that when something is written, we have a tendency to better remember it. Or we can go back and refer to it again and again. I find myself, especially when I'm trying to remember people's name, when I first meet a person or whatever, I've tried it on several occasions, Brian, to try to remember their name. But it seems like it always escaped me. And so what I've learned to do is to start writing those names down. And somehow I seem to recall it better when I've written it down. And not only with names, but with other things. It works that way with me. You may not have to do that. You may have a better mind than I have, and that's good. But when you write something down, it always seems to just help you to be able to remember, help you to be able to recall it. So when something is written, then that means that we will have it available as a record, as a guide, or as a reference point. And God has given us his word for that very purpose. And when we believe it and when we obey it, as Jesus says, as John says, right in the words of the Holy Spirit says, we can have life through his name. So what is it about these passages that we can learn this evening from John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Notice again that the Bible says in that particular passage, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written. So one thing we can learn from this passage, that there are some things that are not written. There are some things that God has chosen not to tell us. Even John went on in John chapter 21, after Jesus showed himself a third time to his apostles, and he performed a great miracle in their midst. You know, they were on the seashore, and they had been fishing. They had fished all night and caught nothing. And that morning, Jesus was on the shore, and Jesus says, "Have you any meat?" Of course, the answer was, "We don't have any meat." And so he tells them to go back out and fish again. And they went back out, the Bible says, and they fished again, and they caught a great multitude of fish. The number was about 153 fish they caught. And so they drew this net to the shore, and, And they looked over there, and there was some fire already kindled. And they brought the fish in, and Jesus prepared them a meal. Well, that was the third time that he had shown himself to the apostles. But then down about the end of the chapter, in John chapter 21 and verse 24, John says this is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also, he says, many other things which Jesus did, which if they would, or should rather, be written, every one. He says, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So chapter 20, he says, there are some things that are not written. And then he adds on to this and says that if all of these things were written, the whole world, I suppose, wouldn't be able to contain the books. So again, the point is that I'm making that there are some things that God has chosen not to tell us, that God knows that we don't need these things. So he has not had them recorded for us. Then even in Old Testament times, God had his people to know this, as he had Moses to write in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. He says that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. So if God has not written these things, if they happen, they're secret things, he doesn't have to tell us these things, and he didn't tell us these things. They belong to him. But then he goes on and says, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. So my point is, if it's not written, then we don't need it. Now, I know man is sort of a curious creature. Man always want to find out this and to find out that and to find out the other. And I suppose nothing is wrong with that. But as far as pleasing God, if it hasn't been written, we don't need it to please God. So the secret things, the Bible says, they belong to God. But the things that are revealed, he said, they belong to us and to our children, that we may do all the words of his law. And I'll say it like this sometime. We need to stop reading when God stops writing. So many people want to keep on reading when God has stopped writing. And so they say things like this, that, well, since God didn't say such and such, then we can do such and such. Well, God doesn't have to say, don't do such and such. If he has told us what to do, he's told us to such and such to do, then that's all we need to be worried about, is doing what God said. We need to be like Jesus. Jesus, on one occasion, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse number 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And the Bible says, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. So again, I'm saying that we need to open the book, read what God has written or revealed, and then close the book and do what God says. But so many people, again, go on and on doing things that God has not revealed, that God has not said. And there are ample warnings in God's word against these type of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, we are taught there not to think of men above that which is written. 2 John chapter 9 and verse 9 through 11 teaches us the danger of going past what God has written, going past the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. Whosoever abideth and transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. So when God has stopped writing, we need to stop reading. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, we should not add to the word, neither should we take away from it. Proverbs 35:6, every word of God is pure. He's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add not thou not unto his word, lest I reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Revelation 22:18-19 tell us, don't add, don't take away. So again, too many want to live by what's not written rather than what is written. Let us live by what is written, and don't worry about that which is not written. So, number one, when we look at this scripture in John chapter 20, in verse number 30, we learn that there are some things that are not written. But then there's something else from this passage that we learn. When we look at verse 31, again, the Bible says, but these are written that you might do what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Things that are written, they are written because the Lord wants us to believe these things that are written. You see, the miracles were designed to create faith in people. In Mark chapter 16, round about verse number 15, where the Great Commission was given, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then verse 17 says, and these signs, these miracles, these signs shall follow them that believe. In thy name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they, that is these apostles, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So these miracles, they were done to create faith in people so that the word that these apostles were preaching would be confirmed, that the people would know that these indeed were the words of God, were the words of Christ. So the miracles were designed to create faith in people. So is the word of God. It is designed to create faith in people. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 16 and 17, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. The word of God is designed to create faith in individuals. However, it must be an obedient faith. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, Paul said this. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Verse 26 says this, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the what? Obedience of faith. That's the design of the gospel. That's the design of the word of God, is to create obedience in people so that people will obey the will of God. So the miracles were designed to create faith. The word of God was given to create faith. So the Lord then wants the things that are written to sink into our minds, that they might create faith in us. Again, that's why we don't need to worry about the things that are not written, because the things that are not written cannot create faith in us. And it takes faith to please God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we all know that passage so well, I'm sure. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God knows that we needed his word to create that faith, or to have that faith so that we could please him. So he gave us his word. That faith also needs to be an unwavering faith, a faith that doesn't doubt. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says this,
let us draw near, the Bible says, with a true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. Having our conscience, the Bible says, our hearts rather sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In verse 23, he says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. So God wants us to believe because of the things that are written. So again, John says, these that are written, they are written that you might believe. But not only just believe. John completes that verse, John chapter 20 and verse 31 again. He says that, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life through his name. So God wants us to believe, but just not believe. He wants us to have life through his name. You see, the written word came by the authority or the name of Christ. God, the Bible says in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, speaks to us through Christ. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his dear Son. So God speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has been authorized to speak for God. We remember, I'm sure, so well how Peter offered the Lord a proposition, if you will, in Matthew 17 upon the Mount of Transfiguration. It's good for us to be here. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, let us build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. The Bible says, while he yet spake, bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God is giving Jesus the authority, letting Peter know, and the other apostles that were with him, Peter, James, and John, that were with him there, letting them know that he is the one that's going to be authorized to speak for me. Then Jesus makes it so plain to all 12 of them in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, where he says, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. So Jesus then has the authority. So the scriptures then, which came by Christ, were written to make us what God wants us to be. God wants us to have that life. He wants us to have that eternal life. Only the scriptures can give us that. You notice again when I said earlier tonight that things that are written, you can go back and you can refer to them. They are a point of reference. They are a guide. You can go back and see what God wants you to do. Well, when we have the scripture, we can go to it time and time again because it was written for that very purpose, to teach us what God wants us to do and to supply us with everything that God wants us to do to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. 2 Timothy 2, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is suitable or profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all or every good work. So then, the scripture then, they are written to supply us with everything that we need to be what God wants us to be. Not only to be what God wants us to be, but they were written also to give us the opportunity to share in the divine nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, the Bible says here, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus, and of Jesus, rather, our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Whereby, that is, whereby this that has been given unto us, whereby are given unto exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world
through lust. And to be a partaker of his divine nature is to enjoy that life in Christ that only he can give us. You see, life is in him.
John chapter 1, verse number 4, the Bible says, in him was life. And the life, the Bible says, was the light of men. In him is that abundant life. John 10, verse 10, Jesus says there that the thief cometh but for the steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly.
And he is the life.
John 14, in verse number 6, I am the truth. I am the way, he says, the truth and the life.
So all of this then, in being a partaker of his divine nature, all of this is to give us back what man lost in the garden.
And I say it to us tonight, only grace could do that. You see, in the garden, man was perfect. Man was just like God wanted him to be. But because of sin that entered in, man fell from that perfect nature. He lost that divine nature that he had. But through Christ Jesus, we can gain it back. So John again says, these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. All of us tonight, we need that life. So as I close tonight, may we then be a people who believe the word to the extent that we will obey in every aspect of our life. Jesus came that we might have eternal life. Let us then not let it slip away from us through our indifference, through our callousness, through our rebellious spirits, and plain disobedience to the Master. Because the Bible says he saved those that obey him. So John says, many other signs. Truly that Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, there are some things that are not written. But he says, these that are written, they are written that you might believe. The things that are written, the Lord wants us to believe those things.
And that believing,
you might have life through his name. The Lord wants us to believe him so that we can have that eternal life
through his name. What's our attitude then tonight to those things that are written? Are we willing to live by what the Lord has revealed? Are we trying to go through life living by what he hasn't revealed?
Well, I tell us tonight, we're in trouble. If we're trying to live by what he hasn't revealed, rather than living by what he has revealed. Because Jesus says again, and you know it so well, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth, for the words that I have spoken unto you, the same will judge you in the last day. And those words that the Lord has spoken unto us, they are recorded on the pages of inspiration. And if they are not on the pages of inspiration, he didn't speak them to us. So let's live by what he has spoken through the pages of inspiration. You know, it's like sometimes, Brother Brian, you know, somebody says that I don't have time to be in your business because I need to take care of my business. We need to spend all our time to do what the Lord tells us to do rather than trying to do what he tells us not to do. So let's just worry and concentrate on what he tells us to do and do that. When we do that, we'll be all right in his sight. So as we close tonight,